This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on this Reaction Monday. Trade deadline eve. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time is when the deadline is to get your trades done. And so a lot of things hoping to percolate around the league and obviously with the Texans. Although someone asked, like, have any trades around the league happened today? And I don't think I've seen any funny enough.
Kind of quiet. Like they say in the movies, too quiet.
Yeah.
Something about to happen.
Something's about to pop.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye out on those types of things. But obviously, a lot of the attention that we're paying is to this Texans team, trying to see if they do try and address this offensive line at the trade deadline via trade, in addition to some other things on the team. But we know that the idea of making a trade for a lineman is not the easiest thing to do. But even if they are able to make it happen, and if they get a great offensive lineman, even if they manage to somehow get to, I don't imagine that being the case, but who knows, right? I don't know that fixes the offensive line inherently.
What, one move?
One move on the offensive line.
I don't know if it does either, to be honest, but I think you got to start there.
Yeah. This offensive line is in such a place where it does not feel like it is simply one move away, and so I thought, what can you still do to make this more tenable? And I have a great respect for the offensive line and offensive line play and how difficult it is. So I'm not speaking out of my keister. I try and turn to the places where people that have played the game or people that have coached the game in that place. And Jeff Schwartz seemingly keeps coming back up. In this instance, I did not go specifically to him, but I went looking for people that had insight, and he comes back up because he's one of the guys that played the game who has jumped into media and been willing to give us insight into these things. And funny enough, in 2016, he wrote a piece for SB Nation about how NFL pass protection is tough and how teams make it easier for them. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, of course, the league, that's almost a decade ago. League moves and shakes, but I imagine that some of these things remain somewhat universal. So I kind of just wanted to go through some of the things that he points out as things that teams use to make it easier on the offensive line and see if any of them can be applicable to this team. That sound fair?
That sounds more than fair.
Okay, so the idea of helping offensive linemen, he says, in pass protection is to either physically hit the rushing defensive end or distract them with the threat of contact or slide protection help. Especially if you're trying to help a tackle. That fairly makes sense. And these are all built into an offensive team's philosophy and if they decide to give help, right? Now, the first one he talked about, or second one he talked about in there, was the idea of distracting a team with the threat of contact. And you do that through having condensed formations, right? We've seen a lot of that from this Texas team, have we not?
Too much of it. I think the Texans need to go in the opposite direction, but then you're putting everything on your offensive line. So, you know, it's a sort of a balance. You have to mix up it's the play calling too, you know, so it's all of that going together.
So, but I found that to be interesting. It's like, all right, one of the things in the tool belt, condensed offensive line, you've seen it, right? And in a way, this will also serve as a checklist for Bobby Slowick in his time as the offensive coordinator on this team this year and seeing, okay, what things has he deployed and how effective have they been?
Mm-hmm.
And condensed offensive line has worked almost entirely to the negative. It does not feel like it has been a deterrent to defensive linemen that they're worried of being worried about guys coming in and chipping them or whatever. They seem to go right at it. And it also does not seem to be all that helpful because it seems like tight ends and wide receivers are being asked to block almost square up with some of these guys, and it's not been all that helpful. But okay, you have that. All right. So like lining up tight ends, receivers, and condensed formation. Got it. Some other things that a team can do to try and help is that, you know, you can... Oh, sorry. I'm still with the chipping... the running back coming up and adding in chipping on the edges. And that you can definitely see happening, especially when Dare is in and such. The tough thing about that is a lot of this pressure is coming from the interior.
Yeah. I think the big problem with that is you're almost relying too much on something that should just be an add-on, for lack of a better way to put it.
Right.
Like, you should be able to win those matchups up front, and then the running back helps, you know, helps and sort of make sure that there's not a breakdown. Rather than relying on a running back when either a guard or a tackle, as you said, a lot of it's coming from the inside, is already getting beat. Well, when Kenyon Green, whether it's Kenyon Green or anyone else, because we know it's not just him, but it's largely, you know, he's been...
Shaq's getting pushed into the CJ's lap.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Juice Scruggs get pushed into CJ's lap.
It shouldn't be, you know, that, okay, now you got him. No, it's got to be, you got to help get him. You shouldn't be already out of the play. And then you're relying on a running back. And I think that's been the problem.
Now, one of the things is the idea of like sliding your protection to one side or another, especially to help tackles. And again, this one of the things that pops up within this is, you know, seeing that pressure from the interior is going to be tough, right? If your guard is sliding, or if you're sliding center over, if they're not picking up, you know, that block, then your slide is particularly useless. But also, Jeff Schwartz highlights that this requires communication. And this is where one of the issues that has arisen with this offensive line gives me pause, because
they've used the word communication.
That has been something that clearly have not been able to get all the way down, is the communication, whether it's getting out of breaking the huddle early enough to get up and identify what you're doing and get everybody on the same page, or even sometimes just getting the right protection down, although they will contend that they're doing that, they have the right protection, they're just not executing it. But some of this is making sure that everybody has the same understanding of what they're doing and giving themselves the max opportunity to block it up well.
Yeah, but you know what I'm hearing here is, because all these things we've talked about, the condensed formation, the backs helping, the tight ends helping, communication, is with the Texans, they've tried all these things. So it still points, it's almost as if like, okay, they've done that, check. They've done that, check, down the line. It's either personnel is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's coaching.
Those are both things that we need to talk about.
All these things that you've just mentioned, that you know, someone who knows the business, so to speak, of being an offensive lineman, says you can do to help the offensive line. They've done. They've tried.
They've done these things. Now, I'm not willing to say that these are all the things that are available, but you see some of the main things that we're talking about that an offensive play caller has at their disposal to try and help an offensive line if they are blocking poorly, are showing up. And this is one of the issues, is that it feels like you're not covering for one or two offensive linemen. It's the whole line, and that makes it problematic. Now, one of the things that also you can do within this is design of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Quick passes, play actions, boots, screen passes.
We've seen a little bit of that.
We've seen a little bit, but I think that there's some things that you can work with within this.
Yeah, no,
I think that you could use the screen a lot better. I think we only saw the screen one time, really, in the game against the Jets, and that was in third and long, where you picked up a lot of yards, but you didn't pick them all up. And, of course, you can say that you picked up a lot of yards maybe because the Jets are playing off, because it was like third and 21.
Yeah.
That's possible. But it feels like they either don't use enough screens or they don't screen well enough, right? Like, they don't have the right execution of the screen in order to go and pick up yards. But it feels like that's something that maybe they have not made the best use of. And then quick passing game.
Yeah.
It feels like, and I went to look at some of the, and of course some of the plays within this Jets game, the Jets game a particular outlier of bad play for your Texans, but it feels like with the quick passing game, you were a lot better when you had Nico Collins, because he has that big body where he can get the ball. No matter if somebody's trying to play through him or whatever, he has that size in order to give a barrier and catch the ball. This is where I might be more willing and open to admitting that the wide receivers are not good enough as a whole. Like, even mm-hmm. though you have depth, I don't know that you have guys that you can trust to be possession in that way and to, like, help the quick game with their physicality. Now, you have guys with speed, and I think that they can operate in like, screen situations. But I don't feel great about having guys that's like, hey, man, this is a slant, and you're just using your body as a separation and catch the ball. Getting the ball out quickly, catching the ball quickly. Mm-hmm. And some of the times where they have tried to use quick passing games, your line is getting blown up so quickly that CJ's not able to get the ball out quickly.
Now, you have Tank. He's not a big body by any means, but he does get separation. But beyond that, it does sort of speak to and we talked about this going into Thursday night's game. We can expect, you know, Xavier Hutchinson showed a thing or two. Obviously, Woods showed a thing or two. But they didn't back it up, you know. And maybe Nico getting back into the lineup, because he can also stretch the field and open things up underneath, you know. Maybe
quick passing, he's great at. Like, getting the ball to him in space, screens, and making yards after catch, he's great at. Like,
yeah.
It can't be a panacea necessarily, except it kind of was for a while. And so you do wonder how much of this is just, hey, Nico Collins comes back and we ask him to do a lot in carrying us there offensively. In addition to Joe Mixon already doing a lot to carry us.
I don't know, man. The more we talk about, like, all these other things that might be quick fixes or fixes, certainly short passing game. Hell, you know, one aspect of this type of offense that we really haven't seen other than by accident, is like designed rollouts, designed moving of the pocket.
And we saw a little bit of that start filtering in the last week or two.
You know, like he's moved the pocket out of necessity because he's running for his life. But like design it that way and maybe, you know, cover the backside a little easier and shorten the field, into thirds. We haven't seen a lot of that. It still goes back to the same thing. It's either personnel or coaching.
Yeah. And that's why I think... Yeah. You need to make the personnel move. It's not going to fix the entirety of the offensive line, but I think it brings the floor high enough to where some of these patches that a team would use to help an offensive line now become a little bit more tenable, and now you can do some things. Because I think the offense at this point, and it's wild to think of it, I'm not sure that the offense is the part of this team that's going to carry you.
Right now.
I know, but not even just right now. I don't know if... Ultimately, it's the part of your team that's going to carry you. I think your defense will carry you. Your offense needs to do enough to make them worthwhile. Someone was talking about it on the text line, on the 5-Hour Energy fan line earlier, saying that this Danielle Hunter was a C move because this line isn't getting pressure. I'm like, look, man, they literally apply the most pressure to opposing teams.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't do that in the Jets game, but also the Jets offensive line apparently does not allow a lot of pressure. But then also... Right, Will Anderson gets hurt a little bit in there, and they still only allow 21 points.
Right.
But when they only allow 21 points, your offense needs to do at least the minimum to score enough points to get you over in those situations. And I think that ultimately is what I'm hoping for, is that you get some moves, you raise the floor of the offensive line enough to be able to do some of these things to mitigate poor offensive line play, and then you can get enough offense to get you over.
The defense is so much closer to being, well, some would argue they're already there, but the defense is so much closer to, like, truly being great than the offense. Like you would have thought it would have been the other way around, you know, that the offense was going to have a stand a chance to be great this year, and the defense, you just wanted it to be really good. The exact opposite is true. So it also speaks to, maybe you don't sleep on a big move on the defensive side of the ball. Because if you're that close defensively and you add another piece, maybe the defense can reach an altogether even higher level and it can help your offense that much more. Maybe the defense is where you look. But here's the thing, and John McClain was, I think he tweeted it this morning. You know, he thinks Nick Caserio should make two moves on the offensive line.
Okay.
And while that might be a little bit unreasonable, I think, you know, with the right moves on the offensive line, the personnel just has to get better. And with a move on the defensive side, then your defense can be that much better and carry the load, so to speak.
Yeah, but once we start talking about moves, and not to be a negative Nancy, but it is worth remembering, you have about $5.5
I get it.
Million in space, in, you know, projected salary cap space. Now, here's the thing. If a team wanted to, you know, do some moves that create salary cap space, 3 p.m. today Central is the deadline to make those moves. Appreciations to Troy of Texans Cap for highlighting that. So that could also be a level of indicator if we see some level of moving and shaking salary cap wise for your Texans here as today progresses. Mm-hmm. That might be an indicator that something of a larger magnitude is coming.
I don't want to be, you know, willy-nilly about it, and I don't want to be casual about, oh, make this move, because we all know there are restrictions, there are salary caps, there are certainly ways to work around it, as we've talked about, with the other team, you know, taking on some of the salary. Ultimately, though, there's an old line that I've used occasionally: don't tell me about the waves, just bring the ship in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I am. You know, nobody wants to hear about, well, this is a hurdle and this is a hurdle and that is a hurdle. It does get done. It can't. Teams do make deals. Teams that make deals that are up against salary cap as well. So we don't want to hear about the waves. We just know that this team has to make those moves.
In the words of Don Draper in the hit television show Mad Men, that's what the money is for.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it done.
Exactly.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, it's about time for our Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do those next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Man, they got me, Figgy. They got me, Reggie.
Who got you?
This weekend, man, those Mike Tyson and Jake Paul commercials were all over the place. And I'm catching myself going, yeah, where do I sign up? I'm all in. Dude, and then the pictures of Mike Tyson looking not 58. not 58.
At least not conventionally 58 like the rest of us.
Exactly. And then I saw the Tyson quote about that old Mike Tyson. How did he put it? Every time I drink or get ready to fight, Iron Mike returns. And I break out in handcuffs. Unfortunately, I have to fight and be that guy. I wish I could stop that guy. That guy haunts me. I wish I could stop that guy. I wish that guy died, but he's here again. I'm in.
And so come out and watch me fight. November 15th.
That's
so,
like the
so
perfect.
You about to buy it?
Oh, for sure.
Wait, does it have to be bought?
Or it's on Netflix.
That's why I was asked. Oh, okay. Okay. That's on, right. I forgot it was on Netflix.
No,
okay.
You said that and I really hadn't considered. Well, I mean, you know how these things go, man. The streamers start with, oh man, look, this is, as long as you have a subscription. That's how DAZN started.
Yeah.
Remember, DAZN was like, well, this is a place you have the subscription, you get all the fights. And then they started doing pay-per-views and I was like, what is the point?
Yeah. But I'm like,
ESPN Plus did the same thing for UFC as well.
It started out when this was, it's been in several months now, practically a year, right? That they've been talking about this.
Well, this one also got pushed back.
It got pushed back too. But it's been at least pushing a year, right? And at first I was like, whatever. It's going to be an exhibition. They're going to be, you know, shadow boxing and all this. And now I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
Sanctioned fight.
Oh, I can't wait.
AT&T Stadium. Yeah, I mean, that's also kind of how fights work, especially in this
era.
In this era where they're not, if you're not doing like a real fight, and I think you know what I mean when I say that, is like within the structure of real champion slash contender, like all these, these kind of things that have been put together for spectacle, you're always like, man, that's stupid. And you get close and you're like, oh, the intrigue has got me. I want to see it.
I'm
the
in.
FOMO. Yep. So that's where we're about to be.
Wild.
So I do something that I'm really not supposed to do, and I'm actually afraid of admitting on air.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're here.
But it was kind of necessary this weekend. I'm kind of glad I did it.
Okay. Now we're all intrigued.
So I had to go back up to Dallas one more time to get myself settled on the old apartment, which is done.
Yeah.
Officially, fully in 100%. Resident of Houston, love doing it.
Did you do the Will Smith last look at the apartment?
I sure did.
Before you cut the light off?
Got to do it, man.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage. But I had to drive back down yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full day of football yesterday.
Yes, there was.
So while I was driving down, on my cellular device was Red Zone. And that works out a lot better than I care to admit.
Yeah.
Like, I do not encourage other people to do this, but being able to keep up with that Lions Green Bay game while I was on 45, that worked out pretty well. Yeah. So I understand. Very reckless to have a game on, and I tried as much as I could to keep my eyes on the actual
I'm sure you
road.
Did. I'm sure you
and
did.
And listen to Scott Hansen. Let me know what happened.
Yeah,
but I peeked a few times, and it was fun. I was still able to. I didn't think I'd be able to keep up with the game as well as I did, but I did.
How did you like the St. Brown touchdown celebration?
Oh,
did you see that while you driving?
Oh yeah, the
headstand.
Yeah, that came from UIW. There was a cat at UIW, and that actually filtered into the league a couple of times. So I thought that was really fun.
It was great. You're not going to get any judgment from me, man.
Well, it's dangerous, man. Motor vehicles are guys, like crazy heavy machinery.
Don't listen to these guys.
No, don't
man.
Listen to us. Do as we say, not as we do.
And it's one of the
keep
most.
Keep your hands on the wheel. Yes. 10-2.
Focus.
Yep.
Getting on these roads is really one of the most dangerous things that we do. We never think about it, but more deaths happen on the roadways than airline deaths and all these types of things. Right?
No,
it's a very dangerous thing, and we really should take it, you know, with the level of seriousness that it deserves. But also, football was on, and I needed to be up to date.
Again, no judgment from me, but don't do as
we do.
Do as we say. Watch this.
These are my confessions. It's up, man.
What's that?
It's up. The Christmas tree is up, man.
Oh, no.
She put the tree up, man.
Couldn't stop it.
Last night, she put it up.
So Mariah Carey is going around your house
it
now?
It was. So I went to the Dynamo game yesterday, and it wasn't up during that time.
Yeah.
By the time I got home, Christmas music was going. She had a candle that had the scent of hot cocoa.
Oh, God.
And she put the tree up, man.
Wait, all right. So is that good or bad? The candles that smell like food but are not indeed food?
Man, HEB sells one that smells like a buttered tortilla.
I hate those so much.
Oh, man. Really?
It's
not
awesome.
Buttered tortillas.
It's awesome.
The candles that smell like food. Because now I want the food, and now the food's not good.
We have a blueberry pancake smell. And it smells good as hell.
Yeah,
but,
it does.
But you'll be pissed off if you wake up and there ain't nothing cooking.
Exactly.
But back to the Christmas decoration.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is she doing?
Look, this is my confession. I'm actually fine with it this year, man.
Oh.
It kind of put me in the mood a little bit, man.
But you shouldn't be yet.
It's so early, man. It's so early, man.
I mean, maybe even like next week. It's
she wasn't rolling, man.
Man, what are we gonna do?
Man, I don't know, but
we ain't even had Food's birthday yet. I'm so mad.
No, we have not.
The tree is up, though.
We
man.
Have not.
Yikes. Watch this.
So I'm watching the god-awful AFC South yesterday.
Correct.
And it got me.
I don't know. Buck was out here hooping, man.
Buck was hooping, but that's still. Joe Flacco, yikes. But anyway, and it got me thinking about something that I should never think about again. But I sure hope the Texans don't start talking about, well, we won the division title. Because that reminds me of someone.
Let me find this.
Bad,
man.
Bad memories. This division is so bad.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Please don't.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
Please don't.
But it does, though.
It does.
But it does, though.
I've said this before, Reggie, and I've always believed it. If you are hanging your hat on division championships, that's a losing organization.
Isn't that kind of what we were making fun of the Colts for when they hung up the AFC championship participant banner?
Division championships are nice if you haven't won one in a while and all that, or if it's a really heated battle.
That one last year was really nice.
Yes,
because I was not expecting that one.
I'm not dumping on a division titles, but if you're hanging your hat on, hey, we won the division 3 years, that's for losers.
Especially with the expectations that this team came into the season with.
Please. I went to a very dark place when I saw this and Texans struggling. All these other AFC teams are making moves. And I'm like, man, they're going to say we won the division, aren't they?
Better not.
Better not.
I think I am coming to terms with a level of morality mortality.
Oh, okay.
That I did not really, completely different word. that I did not think that I was going to have to do in my soaring naivete of youth. My back hurts because I played pickup basketball yesterday.
Welcome to the
man.
Club.
You still out there trying to play with the young bucks?
Man, I was doing this as recently as like 4 months ago, and it was cool. Man. Like on a weekly basis.
Did they call you OG on the court? Hey, OG.
No, pick up
OG over there.
No, man. But apparently I did not play pickup basketball for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And my back was like, oh, we don't do that anymore.
Hey, I got Unk with the bucket hat.
Unk.
We don't do that anymore. So, yeah, man, my back is letting me know that either I need to get a lot more work, or I need a foam roller. I need to put that that massage gun to work. But, yeah, I am not in a good way right now.
This ain't back in the day.
No, it is not.
Back
in the day, 5 months ago.
Think about the old days. The old days.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to have your back, no pun intended, on this for a little bit. I think if you start playing some more, you'll be all right. Maybe not like old days, but you got about 4 or 5 years left, and then you're going to have to retire. I mean, just stop playing. Just stop. For your own damn
I'm just going to say that I'm out of shape. I'm just going to say I'm out of shape and that it's not over yet.
I think if you work at it, play a little more, you'll be all right. But
enjoy
it while you can, because you don't got much time left.
Yeah, I am at that level of hooper age where it's like you can't just walk in and hoop.
Exactly.
You got to have the pregame routine.
Yeah.
And I did not
you
have
You actually got to stretch.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't just jump out of bed and hoop.
Yeah, exactly. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So tomorrow I'm supposed to be shooting some content for a dog resort.
A dog resort?
Yeah. So it's a place called Canine Pet Resort.
Nice.
And I needed a dog. So I hit up friend of the family and got a lot of people might be familiar with this dog. I used to watch this dog a lot. His name is Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So he came over yesterday. He's still over at the crib. And I got to confess, man, I don't know if I'm going to get this dog back, man.
Keep
what?
It.
I might just have to keep the dog. Because, see, the thing is, the person dog that I'm watching, she don't really want the dog. She only got the dog for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is growing up and don't really care about the dog. And the only time she complains about giving the dog away is somebody bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, little girl, you don't want this dog. Like, give me this dog.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained that because you sounded really mean for a second there that you were going to steal somebody's
take this
dog.
Little girl's dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to just keep it. I'm going to just keep it till she say, hey, I want the dog back. She got to come get it.
But I've met Jackson, and Jackson's an awesome dog. Yeah. I'm looking at a video of him right now that you posted, and he's awesome. Look, I think you got to negotiate this. Just how old's the little girl?
She's going to the sixth grade next year.
So I think in front of the parents, not behind their back, say, look, I don't know if your parents really want this dog and they've been keeping it and they don't want to keep it.
Oh, wow.
And I think you're very emotionally attached to Jackson. I'll give you $100.
I think you love Jackson very much.
But would you let me have him for $100?
That's what I was thinking about. I was going to actually negotiate behind her mom because the mom is fine with it. The mom like, hey, you can have it if you want. Mm-hmm. Like, she ain't even trying to charge me. She like, hey, you can have it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm gonna offer the little girl like $100.
Yeah.
And then tell her, anytime you want to see the dog, you can come get it.
Yeah.
Anytime. Just gotta bring it back.
Yeah, you need Jackson.
Yeah, it could be mine and yours.
Mm-hmm. There you
to
go.
To use Red from Friday. It's our bike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna keep it as long as I can till she actually come and get it.
All right. Those are our lunchtime confessions right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. We just too old for pickup basketball and
stealing dogs
and all that on a Reaction Monday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's go around the AFC South. Let's see the division that the Texans should win, what they did this weekend. We'll do that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Reaction Monday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula as we continue. And we move into Week 10. D'Amico Ryans will speak to the media at 2. And coming up at, I believe, in an hour, I kind of want to ask the question of what you want to hear and what you're most interested in, because it seems like people are really, there's a lot of things that we would like to get some information on. I don't know how many
we move past will. That game, man. We focus on the next game.
Yeah, but yep. even outside of the last game of it all, hey man, what's happening with Christian Harris? Where's Will Anderson Jr. stand? Like, there's mm-hmm. a lot of things that they are that still remain to be learned about this team.
Still recovering.
Yeah.
Still recovering.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not going to give you anything regarding trades, and you
no.
shouldn't.
No, he ain't going to give you a damn thing.
And he's not going to give you anything on some of these moves that he clearly was more willing to make after the game. So, how do you frame that question? It's like, hey, yeah. you know.
I want to hear more about Kenyon Green. How you feel about Kenyon Green?
I mean, I know it's
over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm just kind of curious because they is clearly trying to move him, right?
But he said we have to, I mean, he basically said what we've all thought. You know, we got to do something. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, got
to
be better.
Now that you've had a weekend to ruminate, so to speak, you know, what are some of the things that you're, you know, maybe going to be looking to do? Now, he's not going to tell you, but maybe you'll get some hints on some of their ideas.
Yeah, maybe, just maybe. Also, mm-hmm. you know, trade deadline eve, there it'll happen tomorrow. The deadline will hit at 3 p.m. Central Time. No real moves in the NFL mm-hmm. as of this moment on the day. Just kind of trying to see what happens. And so it's always interesting because, like, sometimes mm-hmm. these things happen all at once.
Yeah.
It's like one trade drops and all of a sudden all of them are happening. So I'm almost, like, eagerly awaiting, although the NFL trade deadline does not operate like other trade deadlines mm-hmm. like baseball or basketball, where those things can kind of happen quickly and happen mm-hmm. Very, very big, in a big way, rather. All right. This weekend, AFC South, three games outside of the Thursday night football game, in which the Texans lost to the Jets. And so we do around the AFC South and see what this division looks like and just why the Texans should handle their business. As always, choose your own adventure. Where are we going?
Let's go with the Indianapolis Colts, because I thought that was a very intriguing post game with the Colts.
Yeah, Indianapolis Colts, they face off on Sunday Night Football, rather. Apparently all primetime games are the same in my head, because I always say Monday Night Football as if that's the only one. But Sunday Night Football versus the Minnesota Vikings, and they gave a little bit of a tough out. They were a tough out in this one. Joe Flacco starts in this one, and it looks like we may have seen the I don't want to say the last of his utility in this way, but mm-hmm. like, He had a tough time against this Vikings team, as a lot of people do against this defense with the simulated pressures and such that happened. Who did not have a tough time was the other side of the ball for the Colts. DeForest Buckner looked like he was worth all the money and more, the way that he was giving this Vikings offense a lot of struggle.
Look, they played good defense. It was and offensively against the Vikings, you almost got to give them a pass. But what is fascinating to me, funny in a way, is all of a sudden Indianapolis now has another quarterback controversy because now people are saying, well, maybe we're a little hasty with that Anthony Richardson thing. And their offense was really bad. They were hanging in there, as you mentioned, but they had a lot of trouble on offense. And maybe it was the Vikings defense, but either way, they're looking for answers still.
Yeah, the one touchdown on the day for the Colts actually came from the defense.
Mm-hmm.
A fumble recovery for a touchdown. The other points scored were a 42-yard field goal and a 54-yard mm-hmm. field goal. So it's not like the offense was particularly great. I mentioned Flacco had some tough times, only completing 59% of his passes and 179 yards and an interception. That's all that he was able to muster up. Jonathan Taylor didn't even particularly have a great day. 3.7 yards per carry, which isn't awful, but didn't have a run longer than 13 yards. Just kind of a fine day, and the score of 21-13 seemed to be all over the AFC South this weekend. The Colts fall to 4-5, and they remain two games behind the Texans. That's your closest opponent, and of course, you know that you have the season series over them, the tiebreaker, so in effect, a three-game lead over the Colts. And it's sad that is something that you have to continue to consider, but it is there.
Yeah, but not as much now, because that was going to be the one. If they could somehow finagle, and they tried to finagle a win against the Vikings, then all of a sudden it might have gotten interesting. It's not interesting anymore. They had zero red zone drives.
Correct.
Offensively. So the Colts, your biggest threat or no threat?
Yep. And so they are, like I mentioned, they're 4-5. They're below 500, and their next opponent is not going to be any easier for them, as they'll face off against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo Sunday at noon as it's starting to get a little cooler as well. So that's not going to be easy for the Colts. I don't know that you can chalk up a loss, but that gets close. Shane Steichen, mind you, let the people know in his post-game availability, Joe Flacco remains the quarterback.
Yeah, he did.
For now.
Said he still gives us the best chance to win. I'm like, okay.
Okay. We continue around the AFC South. Where would you like to go?
Let's go to that dastardly place in Nashville.
Okay. Tennessee Titans actually get a win on this Sunday. They move up to 2-6 with a win in overtime against the New England Patriots. They needed overtime to beat the Patriots 20-17. The Titans had even had a 17-10 lead with under 2 minutes to play, and they allowed the Patriots to drive down the field and score a touchdown.
It drove Brian Callahan to tears. That was kind of, I don't know. I didn't know if it was cool or not, but that's how desperate they were for a win in Tennessee. He teared up in the post game, like, we really needed that. Well, and they did. They also lost Quandre Diggs and their Lloyd Cushenberry.
Yeah, center Lloyd Cushenberry suffered a season-ending injury, so that only makes it more difficult to do what they're doing. I'm sure that Brian Callahan is also crying a little bit. If you remember, he got this job after being the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals, and so much of their offense is situated in such a way where it assumes that your center or your quarterback is going to be able to diagnose and put you in great situations. And they have had either Will Levis or now they have Mason Rudolph doing that. It's just you're not getting that. So I'm sure this has been quite a learning experience for Callahan and how to design an offense, not just in general, but also for a very particular sub-level of quarterback play that you're just not getting or that you're getting compared to what you were used to with Joe Burrow running the show.
Yeah, and this is a bad division.
It is.
We had conversations in the offseason. Could the AFC South be one of the surprise divisions, you know, one of the toughest divisions? And because, you know, you had who knows with Will Levis and Tennessee and their new coach, and Brian Callahan is an offensive guy. Then you had the Jaguars, you know, they paid, and we're gonna get to them in a second, you know, they paid Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
and then the Colts,
they had their franchise quarterback.
And then the Colts, hey, Anthony Richardson, man, now he's got another year. Dude, we were so wrong on that. This is an awful division.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Although the bright spot for the Titans, Tony Pollard, 28 carries, 128 yards. So he was able to put up some big rushing stats on it. But I mentioned, as you mentioned, some injuries, including Lloyd Cushenberry, their center, who's out for the remainder of the season. They'll next go to SoFi Stadium to face off against the Clippers in that late afternoon slate, 3:05.
The who?
The Chargers. That's the other LAC, right? Yeah, there you go. The Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, they might play the Clippers, too. Yeah. I don't know how well they would fare against them, either. James Harden might run for
quite a few. Might be better off playing the Clippers.
Yeah, you know? Might be, yeah.
And then finally, around the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars picked up a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. It was 28-23, but it really didn't feel that close. And you mentioned the idea of Trevor Lawrence. The big money that they've paid him, it continues looking woeful. 16-31 for 169 yards. Nice, although it's not all that nice. Two interceptions. No touchdowns. He had touchdowns, but they were both on the ground for him.
Yeah. Doug Peterson might be the next coach fired, huh?
It's possible.
You got, obviously, you know, I was going to say the second coach fired him, but the second coach was fired today, Dennis Allen.
Yeah, if you missed that, Dennis Allen was relieved of his duties from the New Orleans Saints. I actually still haven't seen who the interim would be down there.
But they have to pay your quarterback like that and have this type of result. It's going to point back to the coach.
Yes, it will. And of course, it never helps when you can have one of these types of stats attributed to your team. The Jaguars netted only 31 yards of offense in the first half. That is the second fewest first half yardage in franchise history.
That's ridiculous. Somebody got unfortunate. He gonna be the one that loses his job.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you're the offense guy.
Yeah.
Right. Like Doug Peterson is an offense.
They brought you in to elevate
to
Trevor
fix
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Or fix, but make him better.
Yeah. Yeah. Help him be a, and he yeah. is he has only gone in a way that it kind of makes you question.
So inconsistent. Man.
Yeah.
The contract that you gave, and it doesn't get any easier for them either. That's one of the things that's the common refrain for all the AFC South teams. In Week 10, it gets a little tougher, as the Jacksonville Jaguars will host at Everbank Stadium, the Minnesota Vikings.
All right.
Sunday at noon.
All right.
And so you'll get, if you had any questions about Trevor Lawrence as inconsistent, I imagine it only gets more inconsistent-er as a coin of term.
They probably wish they played the Timberwolves at that point.
That's right. That's right. Where Brian Flores is going to come in with all those simulated pressures and make it real tough on them. So, yeah, the AFC South remains not very good. Best record of the three other teams. It's 4 wins, 2 wins, 2 wins. So the Texans are in a good place, but you're facing off against maybe the best team in the league in the Detroit Lions in Week 10 yourself. So the AFC South in a very particular place. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're about an hour away from handing over to our guys on the drive. But this came up from a reporter in San Francisco. A criticism of the quarterback of this Texas team. Is the criticism fair? Let's discuss that next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.